If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on kaya959.
The matter of tax is very complex, specifically in South Africa. So much so, if you go and study accounting or BCom, there's a module dedicated specifically to tax. A very difficult one at that. So, with the budget speech coming up this week, there are rumors of a wealth tax that's going to be introduced in South Africa. We're joined by a very good friend of the show, Cass Tole, who's a CA himself, to discuss this matter of tax. We've discussed this in the past and why, essentially, it's great on paper but doesn't often get implemented. And even when it does, it's very difficult to enforce. Kaya, good morning and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning to the listeners.
So, generally speaking, I mean, if you've looked at our tax base in South Africa, it's very top-heavy. Majority of the tax comes from high-net-worth individuals. In other words, people that earn or declare R1 million or more. But those people are very few in South Africa. With a population of over 60 million, I think it's just shy of 1 million people that earn over that R1 million. It's not to say that the rest of the people don't. It's just that people channel their income via other means, i.e. corporate. So, for example, if you're a high net worth individual, people then kind of minimize their own personal tax. And what they do is they tend to live off a juristic entity, a company, a trust, etc. and so on. And the tax there is a lot lower than it would have been if it was personal tax, which would have been maybe 45% or higher. Now, how do we alleviate that problem or go around it? I suppose the simplest thing would be make sure that everybody has above a living wage, so you have a broader tax base to tax.
Well, ideally, you should have as broad a tax base as possible, because what we do know is that personal income tax is a very important form of tax for the collection authorities. And what makes it particularly important is that it is done on a progressive scale, which means that those that make more money get to pay more tax. It is different to other forms of tax, which are meant to be less regressive in nature, which simply means they try to be as low as possible. So if you look at VAT, for example, VAT actually doesn't want to tax poor people simply because they cannot afford it. So there's a big difference between those types of taxes. So personal income tax is definitely the one that you want to target. But unfortunately, the trigger for personal income tax, particularly for the highest rate, which is 45%, is income. And for as long as so many people do not have jobs, then actually they are not able to contribute their share onto the personal income tax collection space, which makes it very difficult for the finance minister to balance the books on an ongoing basis.
Mm. And so I mean, when you speak about, I guess, the different tax streams, there's also something called the Laffer curve, right? Which essentially will be, the more you tax a tax stream, the more at risk you may be to collapse a tax stream. At some point, if I'm realizing that you are now taxing me at a rate of 45% or maybe even higher, it may then discourage me from working any harder, because essentially I'm working for the government. It gets to a point where I feel like, you know what, I'm fine to leave it at this amount. The rest, other people can kind of do for themselves and fend for themselves. So where do you strike the balance between overtaxing individuals or taxing them just enough that the government still gets the benefits and you don't collapse the tax stream?
Yeah, so under the Laffer curve theory, indeed, there comes a point in time when the taxes are seen as so punitive that even those that are earning an income are likely to try and avoid paying the tax. So there are obviously ways in which people can underestimate the extent of what they make, which is where the type of systems that SARS has that try to detect and identify high net worth individuals have to be very vigilant, because obviously the tendency for everyone would be to say as little as possible. So if you don't have a collection system that is able to identify those that are under declaring, then you've got a problem. But also obviously the question of designing the tax system so that even those that do have to pay at that highest tax rate do still think that it is a noble cause is an important one. So how people tend to assess the responsibility of the exercise is they try to observe what actually gets done with their taxes. So when you then hear stories about public resources being squandered, it doesn't help. It tends to create the incentive to say as little as possible, to declare as little as possible. So when you're designing a tax system, you have to consider all of those multiple considerations and then coming up with a number that will be palatable, even though it is still regarded as a graduate conversation, because obviously, ideally, everybody would prefer to be at zero, but that's simply not practical for society.
Now, here's the thing about high net worth individuals, right? They tend to employ a tactic called tax avoidance, which is not illegal. Tax evasion is what's illegal. With some creative accounting, USCA, you know better than me, there are ways in which I can live a very, very, very comfortable life, but my tax obligation be kept to a minimal.
Yeah, so there are obviously mechanisms in which one can try and minimize their tax liability, and that is indeed accepted. But what tends to happen is that once SARS, for example, identifies that there's a particular provision in the Act that allows many more people to be able to reduce their tax liabilities, then they undergo a process of reform and then closing that loophole if they believe that it leads to a mass leakage of revenue that would otherwise be collected. So the question of identifying what those structures might be is an important one. So earlier on, you mentioned the different ways in which people can house their assets. For a very long time, trusts were a very popular way in which people could house their assets, because obviously the way assets grow and behave within a trust is quite different from the way they do in an individual taxpayer's hands. Now, over the many years, SARS has essentially tried to make that distinction completely arbitrary. So the tax rate is the same as it would be in individual hands, and the type of concessions that previously existed have simply been eliminated because SARS identified that even though it was a legal way in which people were minimizing their tax liabilities, it was undesirable for them as a tax collections agency for that system to exist. So therefore, they always updated to make sure that they minimize the leakage.
And as opposed to close off, the issue here is just our economy as a whole is lopsided. And so because the economy is lopsided, our tax base will be lopsided. Because our tax base is lopsided, the working class will be lopsided. Everything will end up being that way until we fix the economy. Is that not the truth?
Well, it is, because until you actually have a growing economic pie, then the baseline from which you are extracting these taxes is indeed very limited. And I think when you look at the balance between personal income taxes and corporate income taxes, it is very clear that South Africa has got a problem of a very narrow tax base. And even within that narrow tax base, it is a few people that are actually making meaningful contributions. So it's a few companies that make significant contributions, and it's a few taxpayers that are wealthy enough to make a significant contribution there. So until you broaden all of those, we are really working on a very limited canvas, which is why borrowings have become such an important part of our budget. We simply just do not raise enough revenue.
Thank you very much for joining us. So we're going to leave it. Good friend of the show, Zekas Tole, who is a chartered accountant in South Africa.
Hi, Sizwe. I'm glad you guys have Kaya in today. I'm an accountant myself, but I can't get over this one thing. Please ask him, why is it that we are always asked to save money, but the money that you do save is money that you have already been taxed on, because it's from your salary. But when you do get interest income, then SARS wants 40% of that interest income. I don't get it. I feel like I'm being double taxed. Please help. Thank you.
That is funny. Well, so the money that you ends up being the capital amount, right, that you're saving, that has been taxed. The interest, however, that you earn on those savings, that hasn't been taxed, because as you correctly point out, it's new income. And so that new income needs to be taxed as well.
But why are you taxing my income? Why are you taxing my savings? Because you are the same people that are encouraging us to save.
We're not so taxing your savings. No, we're taxing the interest
the
portion
money,
of your
the
savings.
Money that your savings makes.
But listen to my thought process. Mm-hmm. If you are saying to me, I need to save, I'm saving with the aim of growing my savings. So if you are saying to me, by whichever amount that the savings is growing, I still need to tax you. It's like being a chicken.
No, but you can only grow your savings by a portion of 0.65, because the rest has to be taxed. There's nothing else you can do. Well, it's probably what? If it's 45, okay, 0.55. Because here's another thing. Okay, so simply speaking, if, for example, this is a theory, Mm-hmm. If you're able to save 10 million rand, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. from your earned income, which has now been taxed, and then you save it now, mm-hmm. maybe, I don't know, you put it in a money market account, whatever, and now you start earning interest on that, and mm-hmm. that's not saved. Do you see how much money you'd be able to make? That'll be new income that you're deriving from the 10 million, and you'd be living off it for the rest of your life.
Isn't that what we keep being told to do?
No.
To get to
tax
a point
doesn't
where,
work like
no,
that.
No, but yeah. we're always being told, save so much money that you can just live off the tax. Not the tax, the interest.
Well,
exactly.
It's a long story, exactly. But there's nobody can save themselves to wealth.
Because,
it's just like that, Tj. You can't save yourself into wealth. No, just because it just doesn't work like that. You've got to be wealthy first, and then you can live off savings. But you can't save yourself to wealth. You can invest yourself to wealth, can't save yourself to wealth.
Powerful.
Save us.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.